Saturday, June 28th. The first reading from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth of Mamre, as Abraham sat in the entrance of his tent while the day was growing hot. Looking up, he saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to greet them, and bowing to the ground, he said, "Sir, if I may ask you this favor, please do not go on past your servant. Let some water be brought that you may bathe your feet, and then rest yourselves under the tree. Now that you have come this close to your servant, let me bring you a little food that you may refresh yourselves, and afterward you may go on your way." The men replied, "Very well, do as you have said." Abraham hastened into the tent and told Sarah, "Quick, three measures of fine flour, knead it and make rolls." He ran to the herd, picked out a tender, choice steer, and gave it to a servant who quickly prepared it. Then Abraham got some curds and milk, as well as the steer that had been prepared, and set these before them, and he waited on them under the tree while they ate. They asked him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" He replied, "There in the tent." One of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son." Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent just behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years, and Sarah had stopped having her womanly periods. So Sarah laughed to herself and said, "Now that I am so withered and my husband is so old, am I still to have sexual pleasure?" But the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I really bear a child, old as I am?' Is anything too marvelous for the Lord to do? At the appointed time, about this time next year, I will return to you, and Sarah will have a son." Because she was afraid, Sarah dissembled, saying, "I didn't laugh." But he replied, "Yes, you did." Haydock Commentary. These were men in outward appearance, but indeed they were angels. See Hebrews 13:2. Some have supposed that one of them was the Son of God, whom Abraham adored, and who bears throughout the chief authority. He saw three and adored one, as we read in the Divine Office. Abraham promises but little and gives much in the true spirit of generous hospitality. They ate the food apparently, or perhaps they consumed the food as fire may be said to eat. See Tobit 12:19. By revealing what was secretly done in the tent, the visitor showed himself to be more than a man. He said, "Is anything too marvelous for the Lord to do?" So Gabriel says to the Blessed Virgin Mary, "There is nothing impossible to God." The Gospel from Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 17. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion approached him and appealed to him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, suffering dreadfully." He said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion said in reply, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come here,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and said to those following him, "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west, and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be driven out into the outer darkness, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "You may go. As you have believed, let it be done for you." And at that very hour his servant was healed. Jesus entered the house of Peter and saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, the fever left her, and she rose and waited on him. When it was evening, they brought him many who were possessed by demons, and he drove out the spirits by a word and cured all the sick, to fulfill what had been said by Isaiah the prophet, "He took away our infirmities and bore our diseases." Haydock Commentary. This centurion is the same who in Luke 7:3 is said to have sent messengers to our Savior. But there is no contradiction here with Matthew. For what a man does by his servants or friends, he is many times said to do himself. He came not in person out of humanity, but by his message showed an extraordinary faith. He shows a much stronger faith in the power of Christ than those who let down the sick man through the roof, because he thought the word of Christ alone sufficient to raise the deceased. And our Savior, to reward his confidence, not only grants his petition, as he does on other occasions, but promises to go with him to his house to heal his servant. St. Augustine is of the opinion that he did not go himself in person, for he thought himself unworthy, but that he sent first the ancients of the Jews, and then his friends, which last were to address Jesus in his name and with his words. Thus we see that the request of the two sons of Zebedee was made by themselves to Jesus Christ according to Mark, and by the mouth of their mother according to Matthew. On this occasion our Savior does what he never did before. Everywhere indeed he meets the will of his supplicants, but here he runs before his request, saying, "I will come." And this he does to teach us to imitate the virtue of the centurion. Origen says, "When thou eatest and drinkest the body and blood of our Lord, he entereth under thy roof. Thou also, therefore, humbling thyself, say, Domine non sum dignus, Lord, I am not worthy." So says St. John Chrysostom in his Mass, and so doth the Catholic Church say at this day in every Mass. Christ here compares the faith of the centurion with that of the people in general, and not with that of his Blessed Mother and the Apostles, whose faith was beyond a doubt much greater. Jesus, hearing this, marveled. That is, by his outward carriage, says St. Augustine, he seemed to admire, but knowing all things, he could not properly admire anything. When he says, "I have not found so great faith in Israel," this need not be understood of everyone, but of those whom he had cured before. In consequence of the faith of this Gentile, Jesus Christ takes occasion to declare that many Gentiles would be called to sit at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, which is frequently represented under the figure of a feast. The Jews, who glory in descending from the patriarchs, and who on this title are children and heirs of the celestial kingdom which had been promised them, shall be excluded for having rendered themselves unworthy by their unbelief. They shall be cast out into exterior darkness. This is spoken so as to imply a comparison to a supper in a great room with a number of lights, when they who are turned out in the night stand without, starving, weeping, and gnashing their teeth.